Our study tonight is out of Daniel chapter 7, verses 1 through 15, Daniel's vision about the rises of Antichrist and Christ. As believers living in a spiritually decaying godless culture, we need to live affirmatively in victory over sin. Daniel, as a young man, was taken captive by godless Babylonians, and he lived through Persia's conquest of Babylon, righteously and wisely serving the Lord in the godless culture as a great example for us. So we view Daniel 7, 1 to 15 on Daniel's visions about the rises of Antichrist and Christ for our edification. I want to read the verses and we'll look at them. Daniel 7, 1 to 15. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spoke and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea, that would be the Mediterranean, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse from one another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld until the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made to stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second like unto a bear, and it was raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld to another like a leopard, which had upon its back four wings of a bird. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom were 3 of the first 10 horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things, or blasphemous things. And I beheld until the thrones were cast down, or actually set, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands upon thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld even until the beast was slain, and his body is destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came up to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given unto him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. Interesting. In Daniel chapters 1 through 6, God's prophet had written in the third person. But in Daniel chapters 7 through 12, that's the last 6 chapters, he shifted to the first person. Since Daniel 7 to 12 recorded prophetic visions, in Daniel 7 and 8 and 9, 20 to 27, and 10, 1 through 12, 5. And they troubled Daniel. In fact, this comes out several times. Daniel 7, 15, 7, 28, 8, 27, 10, 1 to 3, 12, 8. Daniel was being used of God in these final chapters to minister to future believers like the angel said he was in Daniel chapter 12, verse 9. And as the apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter 10, 1, 10 through 12. These prophets, they ministered in their generation, but they also ministered to generations way ahead. And this would include us. Of course, we're not in the Great Tribulation yet, but this would include us. But it's fascinating that Daniel, from what he saw of what people would be facing after him, it greatly troubled him. And actually, that should be a comfort to us, because he was a very godly man. He's highly revered by the Lord, respected by the Lord. In fact, God likened Daniel on a par with Samuel and Job as far as being mighty men. Job was the most righteous man in his generation. So it's interesting that Daniel felt this troubling feeling, and that actually helps us to apply this information for us today. So accordingly, we feel Daniel chapter 7, verse 15, 1 to 15. I don't know, I said 1 to 28. I was probably thinking it the first time. I originally thought I was going to handle the whole chapter, but I realized when I got to verse 15, I couldn't do that. Anyway, I'll correct that. Anyway, the Daniel 7, 1 to 15 vision about the Antichrist and Christ are for us in our era today. When ungodly Belshazzar began to rule Babylon, Daniel saw a vision of four great beasts. It's interesting that he had this vision when Belshazzar was reigning. Remember, Belshazzar is the one that God had the handwriting on the wall with him, because he brought out the vessels of the Lord from the temple, and he was putting wine in them and drinking in those vessels and praising the gods of wood and stone and everything else as though their gods were sovereign over Israel's God. He was doing this to build up the morale of his men as Persia and Persia's army was outside of Babylon's gates and walls at the time. So he was really a bad man. But in view of this bad man, God gives him a vision about another great bad man, which is going to be the Antichrist, who is going to come. So this has application in Daniel's day. It has applications to bad men that we face on our day. Well, the beasts came up. These four great beasts came up from the sea. And the sea always typifies Gentiles in prophetic literature. So the beasts represent the Gentile empires. The first beast, like a lion with eagle's wings, represents Babylon, because that nation is always typically represented either by a lion or an eagle. And the beast's being made to stand on its feet like a man, with a man's heart being given to it, represents the conversion of Babylon's king Nebuchadnezzar that is recorded back in Daniel chapter 4, 1-37. You remember he went through a rough time there with the Lord, and the Lord caused him to honor the Lord. The second beast, a bear, represents Medo-Persia. The rising of one side of the bear signifies Persia's later dominance over the Medes. And the three ribs in its mouth refer to Egypt, Assyria, and Babylon that preceded the Medo-Persian Empire and that was dominated by the Medes. As the Medo-Persian Empire was to devour much flesh, it dramatically expanded its territory, fulfilling the will of God. It's interesting, even these Gentile nations, these Gentile empires, they fulfilled the will of God by dominating what they did. The third beast, a leopard, had four wings like a bird and four heads. This represented Greece that defeated Persia with Alexander the Great's very swift cavalry. One of the things that Alexander the Great did that enabled him to defeat the Persians, they would actually set traps. The Persians would fight with great big elephants, so Alexander the Great would set traps, so the elephants would fall into these traps and be, immobilized. But Alexander the Great had a very fast cavalry, and he would charge very, very fast. So the idea of the wings of this animal and the leopard demonstrates speed, and he was fast. In fact, he conquered his territory very, very quickly, in a very short period of time. Then he got into a drinking bout, he caroused, and he ruined his health and he died. There's a man who can control other people, dominated others, but he could not control himself. There's quite a lesson within that. But anyway, a third beast, a leopard, had four wings like a bird and four heads, represented Greece that defeated Persia and Alexander the Great's swift cavalry. Upon Alexander's sudden, untimely death, the empire split into four parts that were ruled by Alexander the Great's four military generals. And we're going to get into, there were two generals, one in Syria and one down in Egypt, that fought each other over the land of Israel. And we'll get into that in Daniel chapter 11 later on. That's during the intertestament period. The fourth beast was the Roman Empire. It was dreadful and terrible, very strong, had great iron teeth that devoured and trampled underfoot whatever was left, having devoured and assimilated the three previous empires. It's interesting that Rome did not bring a new culture. All Rome did was actually bring a brutal army, but it utilized the culture of Greece and the Medo-Persians and Persia before it. Very interesting, and that's pretty much the picture of this particular animal. This fourth beast had 10 horns, and it's explained in Daniel 7:24 as the revived Roman Empire of the future Great Tribulation. You'll notice here, once again, the Old Testament prophet has no knowledge of a church era that's between the first coming of Jesus Christ and his second coming. Absolutely none. It's all private. It's all hidden, like the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Ephesians chapter 3. So this kingdom has 10 horns, and he's skipping ahead to the revived Roman Empire. As Daniel considered the horns, he saw a little horn, which is the Antichrist, rise up before whom three of the first 10 horns were plucked up by the roots. And this little horn had eyes of a man and spoke boastfully. And of course, this is the Antichrist in Daniel 7:8. Daniel then saw thrones set up, not cast down, set up in verse 9a. One being that of the Ancient of Days, that's God himself, and he judged the nations according to their works as recorded in his books. God then judged the little horn that spoke blasphemous words to be slain, his body being given to the flame, while the cultures of the three previous beasts, the empires, were allowed of God to persist through assimilation into the fourth conquering empire of Rome. Daniel then saw one like the Son of Man, that's the Lord Jesus. In fact, all of the prophecies that of the Son of Man go back to this. When Jesus refers to the Son of Man, he's not thinking of his humanity. You know what he's thinking of is this passage. And this passage demonstrates his ascension and how he's worshipped as God. So it's a very strong claim towards the deity of Christ. He then saw one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. That's his ascension. A reference to Christ's ascension being brought before the Ancient of Days. It comes up to God the Father. And he's given eternal dominion and kingdom not to be destroyed. A reference to his coming messianic kingdom. Right now, Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father over every power in the universe right now. His kingdom is going to be coming onto the earth. But right now, he's in tremendous power over every name that is given among heaven, according to Ephesians chapter 2. And he was given an eternal dominion and a kingdom not to be destroyed, a reference to his coming messianic kingdom. But I want you to notice verse 15. At the end of this, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. He wasn't troubled at the coming of the Son of Man. He was troubled at what was going to occur before that under the beasts. And so he was upset. He was deeply troubled out of all this. And that guides us. It guides us in what we face today. Here's a godly man. He's looking ahead. He sees things that people in the future are going to be seeing. He sees what we see. But he's troubled. So the lesson is God gave Daniel a vision of the coming of the Antichrist, his judgment, and Christ's victorious institution of his messianic kingdom in spite of the Antichrist's rise to direct us that in spite of the trials we face in our role in the current era of developing apostasy, we should hope for the final coming of our Lord and his kingdom. This is something that is constantly put in front of the people of God. You look at any era of history, whether you look at the Old Testament prophets, whether you look at the life of Christ, you look at the apostles, they're looking forward to the kingdom. Looking forward to the kingdom of Christ. And that's what God calls us to do. So in application, may we, like Daniel, who became upset over what God showed him that we and later believers would face, nevertheless hope for Christ's coming victory over all evil empires and accordingly live for Christ today. That's something God wants us to keep in mind. Yes, there are troubling signs that we see on the world scene today. But as Christians, we have a different focus. We have a different perspective than the people of this world. The people of this world don't know about the future. And so a lot of times it's hard for them to hope. We know what's going to happen. We know what's happening in the future. We know we're part of a kingdom that is coming. And so God always wants us to function in hope and to be optimistic. We're on the winning side. So may we hope in the Lord and live for Him and be settled.